You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about the Indiana Pacers as always. My name's Tony East. I'm one of the hosts of this show. I cover the team for Forbes, the West Indianapolis Community News, and the Fieldhouse. Today is the last day the Pacers are in Indy. If you're listening to this, they fly out Thursday the 9th, which is pretty cool. We've been getting media stuff from a bunch of players and coaches and Kevin Pritchard, and I want to talk about that next week once we get everybody. We have one more group of interviews to do, but today is kind of a tough in-between time where we've covered the Oladipo stuff, we've covered who's sitting out, but we didn't really. So that's going to be part of today's topic, is an update on the players sitting out, because since Monday, when we talked about all the players sitting out and how it affects the Pacers, two huge players are announced to not be playing in Bradley Beal and Spencer Dinwiddie. And then I want to talk about the scrimmages, because we kind of glossed over those when we covered the Pacers' schedule because they weren't released yet. And on Monday, I mean, they're an afterthought, they're dumb, but I want to talk about what they could mean and what we can take from them. So let's open with, of course, the most ironic timing ever. Two big-name players, not going to be playing in Orlando. Actually, two big-name players and one big-name player announced today that will not be participating in Orlando. On Monday's show, we ran through every player in the NBA, including Vic, who's sitting out, and what their impact is on the Pacers. So I will just do that today. Number one, I'll go least important to most important, is Taurean Prince, wing for the Brooklyn Nets. He tested positive for COVID-19. The Nets left yesterday, I believe, for the Orlando bubble. So it's just the timing just was a disaster. He would not have been able to be healthy, get down, and have enough positive tests to play. So the Nets apparently just had him stay home. I don't think he opted out. I think he was told to stay home. That has basically no impact on the Pacers. They don't play the Nets in either their scrimmage or in their schedule. And Prince is just a, you know, an ancillary rotation level wing for them. Not really an important player. They could get a replacement player and not lose too much value there. But speaking of the Nets, the big player, the good player for them who's sitting out, and this is now, I believe, the third best player sitting out of the NBA restart, Spencer Dinwiddie, who was progressing actually towards health, had, I think, another positive COVID test, and for the same reason as Prince, will not be joining the Nets in Orlando or playing in the games. He was going to be their best player left since DeAndre Jordan and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and a bunch of other guys are all out. I guess Caris LeVert's probably better than him, but the Nets are really decimated. Dinwiddie will not participating. But I think that I read the specification for him was not that he opted out, but that he was told he would be out because of his COVID test and the timing and all that. The Nets clearly don't care about this. That's not true. I don't want to be critical of the Nets. The Nets are, you know, they're just in a tough spot with their injuries and their positive tests. And the way it appears for the Nets is they're going to have trouble fielding a quality team. They'll probably make the playoffs anyway because the Wizards won't be able to catch them in game difference. But, that two new Nets guys is just interesting. I mean, any team that the Pacers are chasing in the standings that plays the Nets, like, that's where it impacts the Pacers, because the Nets are going to be, there's a chance the Nets are the worst team there, like worse than the Wizards, worse than the Suns. Actually, probably not worse than the Wizards, and we'll talk about why in a second. But, I mean, that's where the impact is on the Pacers, is it helps because, you know, the Pacers aren't going to be playing the Nets in the postseason. Like, it's just not going to happen. So, Dinwiddie and Taurean Prince sitting out, no impact on the Pacers, but it does potentially help some of the teams around them in the standings who do play the Nets in their seeding games. So watch out for the Nets and how hopefully they can put something together, but they're looking like they're going to be pretty putrid in Orlando. The big players sitting out. So we were talking about Monday. If any other podcast covering the league did a segment on how players sitting out affected their team, they would talk Wile and Oladipo being the biggest one, and we couldn't do that because we, you know, on Locked On Pacers, all we can do is talk about how Depot affects the Pacers, not so much from an external view. Well, finally, a good player from a different team is sitting out. The Wizards announced Bradley Beal will not be participating in the Orlando restart now. His is a little different. They're calling it a shoulder injury. Not sure where that came from for Beal. There was video of him July 1st working out at the Wizards facility. So it could just be a combination of him, you know, being on the fence and the team being careful with him. You know, the Wizards are like 14 games under 500 or something stupid. Why are they even going? Beal knows that they're not going to do anything he probably doesn't want to go. The Wizards don't want him to get hurt. So they're just like, whatever. Okay, we'll play our young guys and get in, get out. So Bradley Beal not playing does impact the Pacers a tiny bit because they play the Wizards in that second game in Orlando. Wizards, no Wall, no Bertans, and no Beal. I mean, I'm not kidding you. The best Wizards player on the roster in the bubble is Ish Smith. Like, look up their roster and tell me a better player than Ish Smith. You can't. It's ridiculous how bad they're going to be. That night is August 3rd for Pacers-Wizards. The Pacers start a back-to-back that night with the second night taking on the Orlando Magic. So having an easy opponent the first night, and not just an easy opponent, like a tanktastically terrible opponent, could be huge. I mean, if they're blowing them out after three quarters, awesome. You can rest your guys, prepare for the Magic if you're trying to win and snag seeding. So that's a big impact on the Pacers. But every team that plays the Wizards gets that advantage. It helps the Pacers a bit more because of the back-to-back stuff. But, you know, any team, like with the Nets, any team around the Pacers in the standings that they're chasing or trying to avoid, whatever, that play the Wizards just get to control whatever they want because the Wizards are going to be bad and they don't have a lot of guys. So that's it for the updated on guys out. Dwight Howard was on the fence. He ended up opting in to Orlando. So he is not one of the guys sitting out. That's kind of news, I guess, in the inverse way. The Pacers do play the Lakers, and Howard tore them up because of the way the Pacers defended pick and rolls against the Lakers earlier in the season. But you know what? That's the opposite of what I'm saying. So when the Lakers play the Pacers, we'll talk more about Dwight Howard. So yeah, no one else announced is out today. I mean, this could still be dynamic, but most teams are leaving. Every team is leaving either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday of this week. So we're running out of time for guys to opt out. I don't think we'll see many more, if any, but you know, the Nets were already a team decimated by testing. So I think positive tests from some of the teams that have their facilities shut down, maybe. But I'm thinking we're about to hit the end of the line of covering how these guys sitting out are going to affect the team. So we're going to pivot and talk about the scrimmages because, you know, I kind of joked that they were an afterthought on Monday's show. But you know what? We're looking for stuff to talk about the restart here on Locked On Pacers before the team gets down there. We can cover the bubble environment, things like that. So I'm going to talk about the scrimmages because I think they're a little more interesting than I let on. But first, let me tell you guys about Rock Auto. Chain auto parts stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com, on the other hand, their prices are the same for everybody and they're reliably low. They're awesome. RockAuto.com offers the lowest price possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or an account login. Basically, it's the best possible place you could buy auto parts. They have everything you could need for your car. It's a family business serving auto parts customers for 20 plus years. Go to RockAuto.com and shop for anything you need from hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, their prices are always reliably low and the same for any type of auto-minded individual. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See everything available for you right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that you came from us. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts you'll ever need at rockauto.com. The scrimmages, kind of boring. They don't mean a thing. I want to call them preseason, but kind of the seeding games are preseason and then the playoffs, I don't really know what to call this. So I'm going to go with preseason for now. I think that's the most appropriate thing here. Originally, I thought it made the most sense that the Pacers would play the teams in their hotel. I think that was the original reporting just to prevent as much cross-contamination for COVID as possible. That is not the case. For those who don't know or this is your first time hearing of the scrimmages, the Pacers will play the Portland Trail Blazers, Dallas Mavericks, and San Antonio Spurs on July 23rd, July 26th, and July 28th. So they have 3 days after their last scrimmage before their first actual, or wait, 4 days after their last scrimmage before their actual game. Those games are, you know, a little earlier in the day, 3:34-ish. I do not know if they will be televised yet. It does not seem, early indications are that the answer is no, although I'm sure there will be some bootleg stream way to tune into those games. However, anyway, what do they mean? Well, I'm going to go with nothing. Because, like I just said, I think they're kind of preseason gamey. You know, like, remember the Kings games in India? I think they're going to be more like that than anything, where there are some moments of awesome and teams really showing what their rotation can look like and stuff like that. But I think there are also going to be moments where, you know, if you'll recall the first night of Pacers, or no, the second night of Pacers Kings in India, we saw Jakeen and Gant in the game and Amita Burima in the game and Jakar Sampson playing 25 minutes. And then back in Indiana for preseason games, you know, against the Timberwolves, Goga played a ton of minutes. That was his first NBA action, but still, he played a lot. CJ Wilcox, I think, hit the floor in one of those games. Stuff like that, I think, is going to be more of what these are like. So the feelers are like this. Like, you can see, what we will see is, like, what kind of shape is TJ Warren in for defense? Because they play the Blazers and Mavs, who have Luka Doncic and Dame Lillard. If you'll recall on the road trips earlier in the season against those teams, TJ Warren guarded Lillard for a lot of the time. In Dallas, there was some Oladipo on Doncic stuff, but Oladipo's not playing, obviously, so we'll see how Warren does against those guys. Or if they even put Brogdon on him. I don't remember if Brogdon played against those two teams during the season, but we could see him and how he's looking. And I'll talk about Brogdon later when I talk about these scrimmages, but I think that'll be something interesting, you know, see what they can get in terms of defending stars. But, like, are the other teams going to be pushing really hard in these games? Are those stars even going to play that much? And then the Spurs, right, like Marcus Aldridge isn't even playing. He's injured. That doesn't count as a guy sitting out. That's why we haven't covered him. But, I mean, they're going to be terrible. So it's going to be really hard to learn, I think, many things, if anything, from these games. I mean, I think there's still stuff to watch for, and I'm going to cover that in the next segment. But do these games matter? Do they mean anything? Should you walk, if the Pacers go 3-0 or 0-3 in these games, should you walk away with any sort of pride or alarm? I think the answer is definitely no. I mean, those Kings games in India were awesome. The Pacers won on both. But, like, that was the opening of the first time the Pacers had played since, what, May, April at that point? So it's just exciting to see basketball. This time, it's not going to be exciting to see basketball. And these games are even more meaningless because they're in the middle of a pandemic. Like, I get that we want basketball, but I think that since teams are playing it safe there anyway, it's going to be impossible to go, oh, these, you know, if the Pacers go 3-0, I don't think you can go, oh, they look really good. Or if they go 0-3, it's like, oh, they look really bad. But I think there are, on the other hand, some individual things you can take away. And that is something I want to talk about. So capping off the shortest segment of Locked On Pacers history, where I tell you, here are the games, and I don't think they mean anything. That's the scrimmages. I don't think they mean anything. But I will be looking for stuff more on a more granular level that can translate into the regular season. And I think that's more important to really look at, you know, what can translate. Wins and losses in meaningless games, not translatable. That's why NFL teams do well in the preseason and then suck in the regular season, stuff like that. That's kind of how I feel about these. However, you know, you can look at first quarters or had the starters look in their drives. I saw a video of Pat Mahomes, the $500 million man, in his first preseason. I believe he was a backup to Alex Smith that year with the Chiefs. It was like his first ever preseason highlights, and they were insane. It was obvious he was going to be good. That's the kind of stuff you can learn from the preseason wins or a lot outside of, you know, successes and things like that. That's why I brought up TJ Warren matchup. So let's take a short little break and talk about some things we can watch for in these scrimmages. I currently have a list of three things, and I'm open to making it longer, but three is a nice number for everything. Articles, podcasts, conversations with your friends, stuff like that. Nice number of points on a shot. So let's do three. The first one is the obvious one. And this one's something to watch in the season two, because, you know, there's been some reporting about how the Pacers are going to handle it and Vic and Jeremy Lamb are out. But it's the rotation, right? It's going to be a little bit different, I'm assuming, than anything we saw, you know, February, March-ish, because we barely had overlap of Vic and Lamb, like two games, three games. This is different, right? We have J. Michael reporting, and we have people talking about how the league as a whole, a lot of teams are just like safety, 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 stuff like that. I want to actually iron this out because I've talked about that on the show before and referenced J. Michael. I read it in an article initially, but I finally found a tweet where he said, this is his exact wording: the Pacers would have to waive a player to sign someone else to replace Oladipo. Not doing that, I'm told. Their priority remains getting out of this in one piece, not advancing in the playoffs. Other teams feel the same way. This isn't a typical postseason. So I don't think he means they're not trying to advance. I think he just means, like, that's not their priority anymore, their top priority. But anywho, that is the information I am using when I'm saying They are leaning heavily in to the whole safety element. So the rotation could look different, right? It could expand to 10 guys. It could even expand to 11 guys. And I think that's going to be interesting to see what they do, right? Me and Adam talked about with Vic out, what's it going to look like? Probably Aaron Holiday starting and Edmund Sumner at the backup two guard. But that's still only, I mean, that's technically 10 guys, but could they go even further, right? Do they really care about Sabonis in these regular season games? Not do they care about Sabonis at all, but like, do they really want to run Sabonis up to 30 minutes, 35 minutes a game? No, absolutely not. Maybe in the playoffs they'll get up to 30 to 35. Like, 38 is a typical postseason. In a non-typical postseason, 35 to 30 makes sense. I would guess Sabonis is like 25 to 30. So that means, is Goga going to play? I think that'll be interesting. I mean, he won't play a lot, but he might play a little bit. I just got bit by a bug and it hurt. He won't play a lot, but he might play a little bit. I think that's going to be something to monitor. Could Jakar Sampson hit the floor, right? What do they value in their forward rotation in these games? Because, you know, Jakar was playing near the end, right before they returned. He was coming back from injury. They needed him to play with McDermott out, right? Does he snag a spot? Does anyone surprise us and come in behind those guys? Nazmi Trulong's finally healthy. Brian Bowen, TJ Leaf, even any of those guys hit the floor? I doubt it, but that's something to monitor, right? How do they manage these guys? And the second one is kind of a fallback off of that. And it's, you know, the young players. I think young players are something to watch for in these scrimmages. If they're televised and if not, how do they perform? I'm sure there will be some people covering it and some form of, you know, box scores or something. But with the young guys, right, like Aaron Holiday is one of, okay, let's get broad first. Do any of them step up to the point of, okay, this guy can be whatever percentage of Vic or Lamb in the playoffs, right? Is Aaron Holiday looking awesome? Is Edmund Sumner gelling with the second unit? Is Goga playing better in his minutes than he was because he had some struggles this season in, you know, screening and defending in space, things like that? Or do any of those guys look any better? Can they be a piece moving forward? Because that'd be really huge to hit on a young player stepping up in these games. It's almost like they're, you know, this is kind of like around the time of when their third season would start normally. So what kind of, you know, have they developed their body anymore, stuff like that. I think watching the young players and how they stand out is going to be something I'm personally looking at, and I'll probably carry that into the eight games. But if the rotation is expanded, I just think we'll get more looks at them than we normally do. So the main one to me is Aaron Holiday, because if Aaron Holiday turns into something useful, that really helps the Pacers' future. So I'll be really watching how he does, or Sumner, one of the two, I guess. But I'll be really watching Aaron Holiday and see how he does. I'm hoping these games are televised, but you know, I think that the box score can tell you a lot about him and how he's fitting in, right? Early in the season when he was getting his rotation minutes, he was junk. He was like, he missed all his shots in the first three games. It took Sumner getting hurt for him to even get a chance to really turn that around. The last thing I'll be watching is oddly specific, but very important for both the seeding games and for the playoffs. That is Malcolm Brogdon. One, his health. Two, his conditioning. And three, his minutes. So, I mean, obviously he had that torn or whatever, strain, whatever. He had a big injury right before the end of the season. He would not have played should the season have not been suspended, but he's going to be able to play. He has said he's going to Orlando with the team once he has his negative test. So COVID has respiratory ramifications, right? So the first thing is his conditioning. When Brogdon gets down there, well, I guess I just talked about the healthy thing. Has he recovered from his leg ailments? Is he ready to play? Can he play a lot? Stuff like that. Does he look normal when he plays? Like, we haven't seen him play since early March. I mean, that's the same case with everybody. But we haven't seen him play unencumbered by nagging injuries in, who knows, possibly the whole season. So he's a guy I'll be watching. This is a big period of rest for him to potentially, you know, capture some of that form he had early in the season. But two, anyway, his respiratory level, right? His conditioning. So when he is playing, does he get gassed really fast, right? Or can he still just have burst? Does he look in shape? Things like that. Because that would be huge for the Pacers, too, if Aaron Holiday can't step up, right? Do they have, if they have that Brogdon that they had early in the year, or the Brogdon that showed up in Denver that can just cook guys off the dribble, get to the rim, you know, hit that skip pass to the opposite corner. Those kind of reads that bend to the defense more than anyone else can really do, besides McConnell, I guess. But McConnell can't shoot like Brogdon at his peak. Those kind of things are going to be really important to monitor, because if he can't and they don't have Depot, like, their guards are just, they won't have the penetration and guard play to really make any sort of noise. And the last thing is his minutes, right? Can he play big minutes already, or is his conditioning really hurt by the fact that he couldn't hit training camp right away and that he has, you know, a respiratory virus? Things like that I think are going to be really important to monitor with Brogdon, because a lot hinges on him being at least decent, and I think he can be, right? I think this time off will really help him more than any other player on the team, because now he can be healthy, and I think he wants to play well. It'll help amplify his platform and really cement he had a better first season than the numbers show, but I think we'll have to see, and I think he's one of the guys. He's probably the most important guy to watch in these meaningless scrimmages. But yeah, I wanted to talk about the scrimmages, so I did, and I wanted to talk about Beal, Dinwiddie, and Torian Prince, so I did, and that is the news of the league and the news of the Pacers. There's not a lot going on these days. They take off tomorrow, so stay tuned. We'll cover all the bubble stuff coming up soon. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you on Friday.